what you have to learn.
So the next point, and I think this Gemara and Shavuos works out very nicely to justify, to buttress this approach. And again, the approach being, we have our, as you guys put them, PEPs, or philoethical, I like objectives, but principles, legal machine, legal construct emerging, right? So if you look at the page, on the top of the page, it's Shavuos Chof Tesamon Aleph. So the Gemara says, V'chei Matzino.
V'chei Matzino ke she'hashviya Moshe et Yisrael.
We find that when
Moshe commanded
to the Jews to do, what's a shua? A shua.
Like a swear?
Yeah, to make an oath. So they were going to take an oath, right? Amarlan.
He said to them, Da'uli or Dayu, Shalo al Adaychem, Ani Mashvia Eskem, Ela al Da'at, Makom, Be al Daisim.
Right, so now you're taking an oath to accept the mitzvos, not based on a. Yeah, we did. Based on God and and me. So Vilemalahu. Okay, now comes this very strange back and forth. Vilemalahu.
Kaima Torah. What type of Torah? God of Torah, one Torah. Vilema, and he said back, Kaima Shte Torah.
Right, because they were saying Chada Torah, because there isn't one Torah. How many Torahs are there, so to speak? There's Torah Shabbatav and Torah Shabbat. Okay. No. So Shte Torahs, fine. But then we have more than two. We have. Right. Again, the Torah says Zos Torah Sachatas. So it's talking about there's a Torah of this and a Torah of this. So there's multiple Torahs. So we don't know what to accept. So keep Makol Torah Kulo. So keep every Torah.
And then the Jews say back, Odas Kokavim.
Right. Damamar.
Kumas
Odas
Ba.
Right. So if you deny God, or if you practice Avodah Zarah, it's like you're denying the entire Torah. So all I have to do to accept the Torah is not do Avodah Zarah. So it's a funny type of acceptance because it's a negative. But anyway, so Moshe says no. He says so right. Right, so then he switched gears. Follow. So he says mitzvah. So what's mitzvah? Chada mitzvah. So we'll follow one mitzvah. So he says no mitzvos.
Two.
Right. Kolmitz is kulon. So what do they say back? Right, because sitzis is can negate all the mitzvahs. And finally he says in the end, no, all 613. Which again, by the way, so that's a Gemara, right? One of the few that says 613, right?
Okay.
Yeah, no, I know. But that's the origins. In this Gemara, notice, by the way, that doesn't mean that it has to be that they were given to Moshe at Sinai, right? It doesn't say there. Mm-hmm. But okay, fine. Anyway, so what do we say? So what we wanted to say was that it's a very strange Gemara, this whole back and forth. So if we look at Torah as philo-ethical objectives, so then this first part is telling us what? It's very tempting when you look at Torah to see these objectives as being very like, what do you call it, discrete. As I put it, like information systems, right? The analogy I wanted to use in Shir was like a solar system. Each planet has its own everything, own environment, own atmosphere, own orbit, etc. And they just relate to each other in a very subtle way, like gravitational pull. Right, but they're not like okay. So here, so the Gemara. So what the Gemara is telling you is that ultimately there is something that can unify these disparate peps, which is Avodah Zarah. Meaning, if you deny God's existence, we can't even get the show started, so to speak, of philoethical objectives without God in the picture. Okay, and I know we were quibbling in Shira whether that I think it was I forgot who asked the question whether it was like. It was you, right? Whether it was like the overarching God idea and then the principles emerge, or is it in containing each principle? Okay, you can go either way. I'm not so concerned about that. The mitzvos refer to the legal construct. So you could say, by the way, I mean, this is an argument I hear here. You could hypothetically say that there's philoethical objectives, right? We don't have to adhere to all the legal principles, right? Maybe some of them, right? What? Maybe you could say that, right? So Moshe pushes back and says, no, it's going to be a complete acceptance, okay? But then you could also say, that's true, could we rank, and this is a very important point, could we take the legal system and rank it in importance, right? So the answer is no, qua the mitzvah itself. Meaning, of course, I could have a mitzvah of Korban Pesach where the consequences are different than this mitzvah, but insofar as what a mitzvah is, there's no difference. See, in philoethical objectives, we can have differences. You could say belief in God is more important than, let's say, social cohesion. But you can't say when it comes to, once it turns into law, we have no right to go ahead and say one is superior to another. That doesn't exist anymore. So then going back to the Ramban. So the Ramban, at the end of that page, the Ramban also brings up a very important point. Again, the Rambam holds that 613 is Masoretic, closed system. All the devices, anything that has divine in it was given over at Sinai. Okay? How do you explain Aaron? Oh, so you'll just say that that has the value of Sinai in it, meaning it doesn't have to actually be the event at Sinai, but certainly, let's say, by Moses' death, there's no idea anymore of a divine mitzvah. But he says, what about the Bahag? So I found this line to be fascinating. Of Abba Alachos Savar, Shazu a member of Achoch Yotzeba, Mitzvah Zeh, Tafsu B'Cheshbonon, Kol HaMitzvahs and Ohagos B'Yisrael L'Doros. Right? So what did the Bahag do? He looked at, and I'm not saying he pulled, but he saw what disseminated, what distilled out from the various positions of the Tanaim of mitzvahs. And what he noticed was is that it ended up being 613. Now again, that doesn't mean that one Tana had 800 mitzvahs and one Tana had 300 mitzvahs. Obviously, that's not the case. Rather, let's pretend there was I'm saying there was between 605 and 625, let's say, something that they're playing with, right? So 613 is a nice average, an estimate that emerged out. And he's using the Niyog of Bnei Yisrael to come to that conclusion, right? But that, again, that's affirming the idea that this is... Next section. So then the Ramban kills the Rambam for the following. He says, why is the Ramban so bothered? Why is the Rambam so bothered with the Bahag's idea that the Rabbanans be included? Because what does the Gemara do? And this is also an important point. The Gemara, see this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Tezayin Amalav. The Gemara has no problem, right, creating no distinction between the Raisa and the Rabbanan. For instance, the Gemara says, we do X because it says in the Torah Y. We do A because the Torah says B. And we also do Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros, which are the Rabbanans. But there's no break in the Gemara. The Gemara treats the Rabbanan just like the Doraisa. Right?
There's a hierarchy of Doraisas, right?
What do you mean? The other point he makes is that often the Torah itself is not precise, because the Torah says Eila ben Yaakov, right? But as if, like, it's complete, but it wasn't included in Binyamin. So you can argue the same thing happens by the Gemara, too. The Gemara is, isn't necessarily precise. There's a lack of precision, right? And then he goes on, and we'll get to the point I made this year. He goes on to, to the point of...
So when Moshe was saying, like, keep these 600...
But then comes his main point, okay? After those 2 points. The main point is that, and I brought in the Sefer Mitzvos in Kufayin Dalad as an Aseh, and the Los Aseh Shinyun Beis. So this is the part I know we're going to get stuck on. Okay, the Rambam says there's a positive commandment to go ahead and listen to what Beis Din commands you to do, and there's an Isser, right, to violate, to go against them, okay?
Lo Sasser,
right? And the Rambam, and this is the big issue, whereas according to the Ramban, Lo Sasser is challenging the use of Gzera Shava, et cetera, when you go against Beis Din. The Rambam says, no, every time you're over the Rabbanan, that's a famous idea, you're really over Lo Sasser. Okay, so right, remember that. Okay, so that's okay. No, I do think that, just not in the same way that you would think that, because the Ramban says the Rambam's in trouble, because what are you going to tell me? There's a famous question: if you really believe that every time you violate a derabanan, you're really over deraisa, why would you ever be? Why are you not chayv malchus or skila or whatever? You can't have it both ways. But that's not true. Then how would you ever have suffik deraisa lachumra? Something to run on the hakel. Right. Well, and the Ramban says that if I have a question whether I did a Doraisa or not, a Torah law or not, I'm always stringent. But when it comes to rabbinical law, I'm a lenient. For instance, let's say making a bracha. So I'm not sure if I made a blessing or not, right? I'm lenient in that situation. Okay? Okay. So why would you have that? If everything's really Doraisa, if everything's really Torah in the end, so why would you ever have such a...
stringent.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, but you never... In other words, if the Rambam's right,
because if there's a suffix about...
So here's and another main point that he's making is that he's really holding the Rambam's feet to the fire, because how could the Rambam maintain this? Like, how do you work that out? It's a very famous question, very difficult question. Okay, so I wanted to pause it. Let me just do the Ramban first, and then I'll come back to the Rambam, because the Rambam's the one that I know people don't like so much. So the Ramban is, I think, it's very simple, because the Ramban's saying if we stretch Sinai out, like, and we say that people, individuals, were empowered with a divine mandate to go ahead and take final ethical objectives, work them through the legal machine, and create legal constructs, so that can exist post-Sinai. Okay, so now the question becomes, what's the line between... What's the line between Doraisa and Darabana? That's an excellent question, right? Why, and that's a good question in the Ramban. When exactly does it stop being Torah? Not really.
That's like a really obvious question.
I know. But the point is that so according to the Ramban, i.e. Bahag, so when I'm violating a Darabanan, there really is no difference between Darabanan and Daraisa, except for when they came into existence. But insofar as the mechanisms, they're exactly the same. So that makes sense why the Gemara, there's Ramban. Okay. It makes perfect sense why the Gemara would not distinguish between Daraisas and Darabanans, because the difference between them is minute. It's minute. It's a very minute difference. And it also makes sense why you could do Asher Tzichanim B'Savas Yivanu. All those things apply. In fact, in many ways, the Ramban is much simpler, except for the fact that he's willing to tolerate the continuation of Torah being created, so to speak, post-Sinai. But when we switch back to the Rambam, and this is the harder part, okay? So I want to maintain that according to the Rambam, there cannot be, by definition, any true idea of a mitzvah existing post-Sinai. Meaning, that, right, and now I can phrase it to make you happy.
Everyone definitely agrees with that.
Oh, okay, good. But I can phrase it differently. Okay, because there's two ways you can phrase it. One way you can phrase it is you could say there's mitzvah, and then there's something that has all the trappings of mitzvah. Let's say Mikra Megillah, which is no question they use the Doraisa framework to create, but when I look at what it is, it's not mitzvah itself. Or the other way you can term it is you can say there is Sinai mitzvah, meaning mitzvah has Sinai in it, and then afterwards it's just mitzvah. But I think my first way of saying it's much better. That at the end of the day, if I look at what it is, what it is, not the power, not following it, but what it is itself, it's not a mitzvah.
Why can you say Asher?
So there's no mechanism that exists to create a mitzvah without Sinai. So that means Sanhedrin can't do that. So even though we call it a mitzvah derabanan, in its DNA, it's not a mitzvah. Okay? Now, okay, but what about Los Asur? Right? And how do you get out of the questions of the Ramban? Because every time I'm doing a Misa of, what do you call it, let's say, derabanan, so I'm really over to Isser Deraisa. How do we get out of that?
You can see that derabanans have
demand. Yeah, there's no natural punishment that emerges from derabanan. Like you can argue Malkus, in the Chazal's understanding of it, is a natural outgrowth of a certain iser, or skila is a natural outgrowth. You wouldn't even say about Malkus Marnus. All right, now what about Los Asur? So I'll just again, my theory is that you know, there are certain mitzvahs that exist that never actually transform into a specific legal construct, and they're not able to. In fact, not only they don't go through the transformative process. For instance, belief in God. So belief in God, that's a philo-ethical objective. You must have a belief in God. But and as Kreskis, as he mentioned yesterday, would argue God, but you can't formulate them into a mitzvah. That's why Kreskis would say it couldn't even be a mitzvah. Right. But the Rambam's willing to tolerate the idea that you can have pure ideal. Okay, so. So what's it called? So if that's the case, so I want to argue that in some way Los Asur is like that, according to the Rambam, that there's no formal legal construct there. Because if there was, then the Rambam would be right. If there's an actual mice of Los Asur, a really specific mice of Los Asur, then I don't know how the Rambam will get out of this problem. But if you say that Los Asur exists more as a philo-ethical objective, so you could say every time you're violating that Doraisa. And what is that? The objective, as I said in the Shir, God gave Moses 611 commandments with specific legal constructs. Well, whatever, 611 commandments. Then left two, right, that their objectives are to continue these objectives, to make sure that the right values are being instilled in Jewish society. And who has the power to do that? Sanhedrin. It coalesces through Sanhedrin. Okay? So, right. So, again, in order for something to be a mitzvah, it has to be endowed with the power, the property of Sinai. Okay? Moshe... Right? What makes Moshe unique? Moshe is unique because he's the one who works it out with God. He works out taking the amorphous ideals and transforming them into legal construct. Okay, a rabbinical mitzvah has no halachic identity as being a mitzvah. Okay, it's really a very forceful suggestion by Sanhedrin to tap into certain ideals. Okay, and this type of mitzvah, similar to belief in God, it lacks a formal kiyum, but it's more of a general idea of what a person's supposed to be doing. So if you read it, if you read Mikra Megillah, if you do Megillah, you're not mekayim the Torah mitzvah of Al Pi HaTorah, rather you're engaging in the sustaining of Torah ideals. Excellent question. And I think that's why Sefer Mitzvos are not supposed to be just simply a list of what to do. Because the thing is that in order for Chazal to understand how a mitzvah was formed, right, they need to understand that there has to be reality that the transformative process itself is divine in origin. This is a point that both the Rambam and the Ramban agree with. The idea of applying not just Gzira Shava, but the idea of how to go from the ideal to the construct itself, right? That mechanism had to be given over at Sinai.
So what about derabanans that were?
So now you guys kept asking the question about making a bracha. We'll answer that in a second. But the Gemara itself said, and the Ramban tries to explain this Gemara. The Gemara says on near Hanukkah, how do you make Asher Kesham Sazvana? What's the basis for that? So either you say it's because of Los Asur, or you say it's because Shalav Yichav Yagetcha. So either it's because of A or B. Okay, so
what's
You'll ask like the sages and they'll respond to you, right? So the question's obvious. Why would you ever go to the second shot? Go to Lo Susser, right?
Ask your dad, he'll tell you.
That's literally
what?
Ask for sages.
It is. Sages meaning the Sanhedrin.
Because it rhymes and it's very smooth.
Okay, but why have a separate avenue? Why not just say, what do you call it? Yeah. Why not just say, it's from, what do you call it? Hazinu. Why not just say, granted, it's kind of a god at this, but I mean, why not just say that, what do you call it? Why not put it under the more efficient shot, which is Lo Susser? So what I wanted to say was, is because it really, really backs up the Ramban's position. Because either you're going to say that in the Ramban's version, either a Darabanan is really a derisive with a psul being its post this stima shas, let's say, or you say no, there are two actual mitzvahs, right? Meaning there's a Darabanan and derisa are different than each other, right? But ultimately, they still tap into one universal idea of mitzvah. But if they are different, shalvicha is demonstrating how they're different, not practically, okay? But conceptually, there's no difference in this machlokas. It's just a question of how would you characterize the Darabanan. But of course, Jonathan started harassing me. Let's go back to the Rambam. Let's see if we can answer it. According to the Rambam, in my shot, why do you say Asher Kishanam Sar Zivano Al Mikra Megillah? It's definitely, it's definitely a weak point in the Rambam's position. Regardless of what svar you want to take, it is a weak spot. But how would you explain it according to the Rambam? I think the better question is, what the Rambam should have said is Asher Kishanam Sar Zivano, right?
Listen to the Rambam.
The Shmuel the Rabbanan.
Yeah, that's position.
Right. What? Right. Okay, that should have been... Now, the Rambam should have taken that approach. That would have been fitting up much nicer, but he doesn't. Why? Is you would say, but you can't make the bracha on Lishma L'Chachamim, because you know what that would imply?
That
there is a... Maisa Mitzah, listen to L'Chachamim. But that, my whole point is, there is no Maisa Mitzah listening to L'Chachamim, because it lacks a legal construct.
Consistently doing that.
Yes, come back and say, yeah, but that's true.
It's just the commandment. But it gets really, like, alter the bracha.
But it gets really weird, because you are saying Al Mikra Megillah, and the Rambam holds it's not really a mitzvah in and of itself, but so what are you saying when you say Al Mikra Megillah? That's a good question. All right, next point. So then the Ramban, now comes the more minor stuff. The Ramban attacks the Rambam and says, why is the Rambam so bothered by Halal being included as in the listing, right? Because the Rambam says that David Melech wore Tzehillim, right? And that's true, right? He did, so it should come up later on. So why does the how does the Rambam respond to that? So what I wanted to posit, again, quoting the mitzvah hey and how he formulates tefillah. So I want to posit there's a third kind of mitzvah, right? And we have one kind of mitzvah, never leaves the philo-ethical objective gate. Another kind of mitzvah, philo-ethical objective, legal mechanisms, machine produces legal constructs, okay? Lulav, my favorite example. But you do have a mitzvah like tefillah. So tefillah, you see this from the Rambam. The idea of tefillah is philo-ethical objective, let's say, recognize dependent existence. But then it seems like what Chazal initially do in their transformation, in understanding its transformation, is to say that it's not as rigid as Lulav. It's like a less rigid idea. And you can argue the reason why is because, putting aside the way it's done today, it was never meant to be rigid. So what do? They said, how does a person daven? Three times a day. But they never say what you say. That lacks the rigidity that Lulav does, right? So it could be this is my approach. It could be the Rambam's taina against the Bahagia is not that he includes halal per se, but that he says the 18 days of halal, because that halal itself doesn't lend itself to in its idealized form doesn't lend itself to rigidity. Because what's halal? Halal is
spontaneous.
So to say I have to say it these 18 days is almost like undermines what it's about. So it could be the Rambam would say if the Bahagia just said halal, he'd be fine with that. But the 18 days. That's treating halal like the third version of it, which is pure Darabana, and that would never be included in the Daraisa. But the Ramban in maintaining the halal's Daraisa has to give two possible rationales. Either it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, right, which we don't in general like, because that means it's axiomatic, or he says it's an idea in what do you call it? Let me get the pasuk out. It's an idea in, usmachtem, right? It's like whatever, in the celebration of the day, right? So, okay. So, which is interesting because what does that mean? So, I want to posit as follows: if you say Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, he's basically acknowledging that since halal is spontaneous, right? So there can never be a rational explanation for how it could be mandated, right? There's again the idea of saying I have to say halal. That notion of have to say itself sounds bizarre. So that's the fallback to saying Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. The other possibility is that. And I said this quickly in Shir, but I think it's an important point, okay? Halal comes into existence, right? Meaning there's a mitzvah of halal, and the halal means when something happens, spontaneous praise to God. Mm-hmm. But it needs a home. It needs a substratum to attach itself to. It needs some type of prism, something that previously exists in the system to latch onto. So what the Ramban's learning is that the template of simcha, of a Yom Shel Simcha, exists already. Halal now finds its home there. So it's a kiyum not in Simcha's Yontav itself, because then we don't need a separate mitzvah of halal. Rather, it's a kiyum in simcha, meaning the day itself provides the template for halal to come into existence. I should make that point. It's not a terrible approach. Like the Rambam would say, why is the Gemara often equate the Rabbanim and the Raisins together? Because people need to understand, people need to respect the authority.
And that's also why they
could say the mandate to make the bracha comes from.
That's a very satisfying answer, but I wanted you to say it first.
Right, but there's only one. Yeah, but I'll tell you what scares me about that answer. Okay, again, to emphasize, the answer could be is that just like there are other ways that we want the average person to respect the authority of Sanhedrin as if it was Daraisa, saying the bracha would be the same thing. There's only one scary thing about that, which is, but in the bracha itself contains the Shem Hashem. That's the problem, right? Now, you could say that they have the right to say that, but still, it is a lot to say. We're so into justifying our authority that we're going to make you say God's name.
Well, it's not in vain. It's just
next question. So now the Rambam lists Hilchos Shechita as a separate mitzvah, but the Bahag doesn't. And the Ramban is concerned about that. He wants to understand the rationale behind each one, okay? And what the point he makes is that, and I know some guys had a difficult time with this, Shechita, right, is a solution to problem mitzvah. Meaning, what happened? So God created an isser of meat, of live animal consumption. What's the solution to that problem? Shechita. Okay? So the Bahag would not include that, and the Rambam would. Now we're getting into the purpose of a Sefer HaMitzvos. Okay, that machlokas. Like, what's the purpose of a book of commandments? So the Bahag would say that what do you call it? The Bahag would say that you're highlighting obligations. Okay? And that's the purpose of a Sefer Mitzvah, which you're obligated to do. You're not obligated to do Shechita. Now, I know some guys didn't understand what I was saying, right? When I mean you're not obligated to, I don't mean.
It's a machshir.
What? Yeah, exactly. Excellent. It's a machshir. It's a hechshir. Meaning, it's again, it's solving a problem, right?
Are you
so just like just what? But the Rambam includes a Shechita because the Rambam holds that part of the kiyum in Taryag is, you know, every mitzvah has in it the quality of being part of 613. So you got to list Shechita because it is a commandment. It's true, it's not obligatory, but it's still a commandment. So to reinforce what was given over at Sinai, you got to include that in the count. But the Rambam would disagree with that. Bahag would disagree with that. So the Rambam also has a mitzvah, right, of the halachta bedrachav, right, where we, for instance, we have to imitate God, right? We have to imitate God.
Yeah.
So this is where the Ramban sides of the Rambam, which is why does the Bahag include things like Bikur Kolam as a mitzvah, right? Why would that be the case? Okay. I think it makes sense. It's hard to understand how a legal construct could emerge with something like imitating God. Right. So what is now? This is another. I won't call this another kind of mitzvah, but I call it like a subcategory of the second category
like
of mitzvah. Yeah, which is like this. Which is that there's an idea of halachta bedrachav, right? That there's a certain philo-ethical objective, right? Now it's up to us. This is the interesting part. It's up to us to determine good ways to accomplish that objective. Visiting the sick, but that can never be a. But the very thing itself definitionally can never be a maisa mitzvah. It can't be a maisa mitzvah bikur cholim.
Why?
Because you can't ever say this, because you can never actually do what? Do what God does. It's an impossibility.
So that's.
Bahag does count it, because it's unclear why he includes these, although you can argue because the Gemara mentions them. But you can argue the Bahag includes them because the Chazal could do such a thing. But it seems like there's no halachas of Bikur Cholim. It's similar to Mitzvah Derabanan in Rambam's way. It's no halacha. Rather, it's if you want a good way to be. The halacha bedrachav, visit the sick. I didn't mention this in Shir, but it's an interesting point. So there's another attack that takes place, which is about Kfuras Mesim. That's very interesting. The Rambam, of course, has a mitzvah of burying the dead, but it's very interesting. The Rambam puts that mitzvah as follows. He says a mitzvah Reish Lamed. He says that there's a mitzvah to hang those who are killed through capital punishment for a brief period of time, and then a mitzvah in Reish Lamed Aleph. Then is a mitzvah to bury those who are killed via capital punishment. And through that, he learns out, and not just them, everyone else too.
Well, that is how the Gemara does it.
Ah, but the Bahag doesn't do that, though. The Bahag just lists Kvoros Mesim, right, on its own. It doesn't have the Rambam's formulation. Why? Okay, why? Say that again?
No, does he disagree with, is he going to say that you don't have to bury...
No, because the Ramban's bothered that the Rambam asks on the Bahag about Kfaros Mason, because the Rambam himself is a mitzvah of Kfaros Mason. So why does he ask that question? Right? Okay. So I want to emphasize this point, and I think I define the machlokas. The point is again, one more time to emphasize this point, the purpose of a Sefer Mitzvot is not simply to tell you what to do. It's not. That's the Mishnah Torah. The purpose of a Sefer Mitzvot is to show you the transformation from ideal into legal construct. That's interesting. Kfaros Mason is a very interesting mitzvah, right? Because there's two ways you can look. Why would the Bahag organize Kfaros Mason, right, by Bikur Kolam, right? There's visiting the sick, and then there's burying the dead in that category. There's a Rambam when he discusses Kfaros Mason. Yes, Yonatan's right, it's based on the Gemara, but he puts it in a section on those people who,
Well, in the Torah, it never commands you to do Kfaros Mason.
Well, that's true.
Tells you to bury people who are killed by a cattle.
That's true. And the Rambam definitely is learning more in line with the Gemara. But the Rambam puts it in the section of a Rugi Bezin. So that, to me, is, I think, the issue of the Machlokas here. Why would you say one over the other? Right, why would you? See, it's interesting. So what kind of mitzvah is Birkur Kolam?
It's more of like...
That's true. It's a... I would argue that Birkur Kolam, and you see... I should start with Nichum Avelim. Nichum Avelim is a good one. Who is Chayiv in Nichum Avelim? Ultimately. You know who's Chayiv in it?
No one.
Right? Meaning what?
Family.
No, that's not true. The Tzibor.
They are the Avelim.
No, they're Chayiv. No, I meant for you to go and cover them. Right, it's really a social mitzvah. Meaning, there's a response. In fact, this is brought down. Let's say you're in a community. Technically speaking, if you're in a community, right, exactly. It's a social responsibility. Yeah. The community is responsible for ensuring that if you're mourning, that you're comforted.
So,
Bahag held. I want to maintain the Bahag held that Kfaros Mason is also a social mitzvah. How do I know it's a social mitzvah? What case exists by Kfaros Mason that demonstrates it's a social mitzvah? No, but that's not a bad guess.
The fact that every
mitzvah. If I come across a body in the field, what do I have to do? I have to bury it. But not because I'm chayv to look for burying bodies. It's that the community can't tolerate the idea. Now, a karov, by the way, is the shortest path, socially speaking. The Bahag has to deal with that. So Bahag would say the shortest path to Kvura goes through a karov. Who's the person most likely to bury a person who passed away? Their relative. So the halacha system formulates the mitzvah that way. But the Rambam, I think, holds the opposite. I mean, the Rambam holds that really the mitzvah of Kvura falls on each individual, right? And it's really on me, or it's really through the karov. But of course, the Rambam would say, if the karov doesn't exist anymore, it defaults back to Mace Mitzvah. It becomes a social responsibility when there's no individual around. So that's why the Rambam, I think, puts it in his section, the Bahag puts it in his section.